feel like one thing that we need to do right now is blow out the carbon in our brains. And what I mean by that is that I felt like we touched the Lord. The Lord's here. I really feel, and probably because of the message, that the enemy really wants to make us more tired, more kind of hurry up and get this over with. Anything that the enemy would do to rob us of what the real spiritual energy that we can grab a hold of today, the word itself, the message, that it doesn't fall on deaf ears, doesn't go over our heads. We're reaching. So can we do that this morning here? Lord, I just pray for spiritual energy.
Yes.
Energy that goes beyond our the way our bodies might be feeling right now. The way the enemy would try to distract us and to put the word off into the corner of our being. Lord, we don't want that, and we fight for that. We were born to fight. We're born to protect. We're born, Lord, for reaching out and touching people and bringing the message of the gospel. We're also here to wage warfare in the realm of the Spirit. Not against people, but against those powers and principalities that have been waging war against your people.
Yes.
Forever and ever. And so, Lord, we stand in the fray, but above it, in the name of Jesus, as we listen to what your word is today. We thank you, Lord, that we grab a hold of it. I pray that for myself, Lord. I'm speaking right now, but I need to hold on to these things and grab a hold of them just like anybody else. So thank you, Lord, that you're with us today. And everybody says amen to that. And really, you know, we can say a lot. We can pretend a lot. It's important that we're out beyond pretense. That this is what we want. We want the Word of God.
Yes.
You guys feel like
yes.
that?
Yes.
You want the Word of God.
Yes.
You don't want man's word. You want what God has to speak.
Yes.
That rhema that comes from God through His people. And we are excited about what you could do in our midst here today. We expect, Lord, great things
yes.
to happen inside of us. You know, that one song, you know, I'm hoping for, hungry for a mighty move of God. I want to tell you that there has been some mighty movings inside this body of believers over the course of numbers of years. If you look back at your life and how you thought about things and the attitudes that you've had, the way you approach church, the way you approach reading your Bible, reaching out to people, really truly loving people, we've all changed a lot,
yes.
haven't we?
Yes.
There's been a move going on, and a lot of it comes without observation. There's lots of heart changes that take place, and then there's other things that happen as well. But I thank God for this body of believers.
Yes.
You want more of God.
Yes.
I can see it in your eyes, and this is going to be important for us as we continue to move forward. So I'm going to start this message today. The title is "Take Courage, My Friend." Okay, take courage, and I'm going to start out by saying there was a rock song a long time ago, and the first line of it was, "Childhood living was easy to do." Now think about that. you think about your childhood. When I think of my childhood, it's really mostly very pleasant. I think of the carefree life that I had as a kid. It was carefree. There wasn't much responsibility, probably, for any of us when we were little kids. We went out and played. I sat under the peach tree at my father's and mother's house. And in the summers, there would be a nice warm breeze blowing. And this is what comes to my mind when I think of my childhood. Warm summer breeze under a peach, smelling the peaches. And leaning up against the peach tree with a book open and reading The Sea Wolf, or one of those books I liked to read when I was younger. That was wonderful. It was just, I wish it could be that way again. You know what I mean? We get up in the morning, we eat breakfast, and then my brothers and I were off playing until lunch. We come back for lunch, and then we're off playing until dinner. Yes. And in the summertime, we're out after dinner until it got dark. And then we were back in that. I mean, what a wonderful time. But we're not made to just play all the time, are we? We're not made that way. There's a growing up in certain areas, and thank God it happens over a period of time. Most people don't have to grow up in all ways, boom, just like that. We learn things as we're growing up. And it's a process that gets us to the place where we're not thinking like a child anymore, right? Mm-hmm. We're not so self-centered that everything has to come to us. But that takes time, doesn't it? Yes. It really does. When we came to Christ, we didn't become mature people in Christ the moment that we came to the Lord. And God is looking for us to grow into things. We might feel, well, what more is there than coming to the Lord and sharing a message of the gospel to people? Isn't that it? No, there's a lot more, isn't there? And you've heard messages like this before. But I think he's really encouraging us in a time. Well, let me go back to say, I grew up in the 50s. You know, Fonzie and, you know, all of that stuff. Happy days. The happy days. World War II, Korean War were over. Things looked good. America was on top. People were streaming to this country. The flags were waving all over the place. It was the place to be. On top of just having a wonderful time, we grew up in a strong, strong America. Of course, it had its problems. But we grew up in that. And, alright, so now I'm going to fast forward to today. Things aren't the same way. There's all kinds of stress factors that we didn't have to deal with back a long time, 50 some, 60 years ago. Didn't have to. And so the people that are living in this time, whether you're young or whether you're old, we have to be at a different place in the way that we live this life, don't we? There's a lot more stress. A lot of changes happening real fast. And so God is looking for us to continue that growing process. And last week we were talking about having the whole truth, and it was part of a broader message about spiritual warfare and the warfare that we're in, and I'm going to continue that a little bit today. So the message has its underpinning in spiritual warfare. And it's important for us that we understand that we're not playing a game here. This isn't where we come in and we pray for things and pretend like we did when we were, you know, like when I was a kid. We would play army. Boy, I never got hurt. I never got wounded. I didn't die. I always won. Wow. But in the real warfare of this life, where there is a real enemy who we are told over and over again from Jesus and the Old and New Testament prophets, he seeks to kill and destroy. He seeks to rob us. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He hates you. Mm-hmm. Now, we have to hold that and juggle it with the fact that, we have the Lord. And if the Lord, is for us, who can be against us?
Amen.
So we need that kind of understanding and faith to proceed into what we know is coming and what we probably already started to experience in terms of warfare in our minds. Anyway, that's bedrock. I know that Jesus will always be there for me. I know that. I also know that he doesn't respond to me as though I'm a little child and I want him to do something for me and he just has to come through. God doesn't respond like that. He knows exactly, you know, it's important for us, no matter what kind of spiritual battle we're in, no matter what is going on around us, where there's tragedies and other things that are happening in our life, because the rain falls on the just and the unjust. Doesn't it?
Yes.
Bad things happen to good people. And good things happen to bad people. This is the world that we're in. And we have to live understanding that God has everything in his hands, but things don't always go our way. Not everything we pray for comes out exactly the way we want. I've had friends, relatives in the past, prayed for them to be healed from sicknesses and they've died. Right? There are casualties in this warfare. There is an ultimate victory that all of us have, though.
Yes.
It's us understanding the final outcome of things that helps us when we're all bloodied up right now. Isn't that right?
Yes.
We're going to see these people that have gone to the other side, that are in Christ. We are going to live in a wonderful kingdom world. No sorrow. No tears. We need this reminder to get us through sometimes, because when things are really falling apart on every side, We tend to forget this, don't we? And so we need constant reminder. I wrote down here, the enemy wants to make us and keep us afraid. Afraid to say things, afraid to do things. Afraid to speak of his name. Get us to fear talking and confronting one another. Get us to be afraid about any little thing. Why would the enemy of our souls want us to be afraid? Think it through. Come on, somebody, give me an answer. Why would an enemy of ours want us to be afraid? Tell me why.
Keeps us from spreading the gospel.
All right, it keeps us hemmed in, right? Okay, go ahead. Follow along there.
Separates us from God.
Yeah, there's a separation. Fear is going to separate us from God. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. Not trusting him. So we're going to be a little more separated in the times that we're fearful. What else? Anything else?
Well, it says God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. So those must be the opposite of fear, right?
No, I didn't say anything to you, but this is a big part of what's coming up. So I am going to address that and talk about that exactly, because that is exactly right. Yeah. We need to have courage. And that's why the title of this is Take Courage, My Friend. Mm-hmm. Your redemption draws near, right?
Yes.
Take courage. So what is courage? It is a person doing something that they're afraid of. Mm-hmm. It's the opposite of fear. Mm-hmm. Do you understand that? Mm-hmm. It's rising up to come against fear. You get it?
Mm-hmm.
So, courage is the antidote, the ability to do something that frightens you. It means to be brave. It's courage that conquers fear. Fear tends to paralyze us. I still, and this is a minor little thing, it's a thing in the earthly realm, but from the time I was little and didn't understand mechanical things, just didn't have an aptitude for mechanics, and I tried some stuff back then and I would mess up. I'm so fearful to try things when it comes to carpentry and mechanics. I'm fearful. I just back right up. I'll pay somebody else to come and do it. Or, like a lot of you people here, you've come over and helped me a lot. Because, you know, I still have that fear of messing up. And it's going to cost me thousands of dollars to fix it. That kind of thing, you know? So I have my little fear, these stupid little fears. If there's a spider in the house, guess who kills it?
You.
But if there's a snake.
If there was a snake in the yard, I'm the one that kills the snake.
Yeah.
I can't stand spiders. And it doesn't matter how big, how small that spider is. Do you see what I'm saying? You know, I can't come to you as some big macho. Oh man, nothing scares me. I'm not afraid of anything. And if you think that you are, you'll find out that you're not at some point in time. Not specifically about spiders, but about, there's something in your life where there's fear that holds you back. It paralyzes you. It paralyzes me from doing the thing that needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think I mentioned this. We were born to protect our families.
Amen.
We were born to be protective of one another. We are our brother's keeper. This is all part, isn't it?
Yes.
This is part of who God has designed us to be. And the enemy wants to divide and separate and get us paralyzed from being the person we're supposed to be. And he's done a darn good job of it. And I pray today that during and at the conclusion of this message, that there's going to be some breakthroughs in all of our lives in something where there's some fear that paralyzes us. Now, I've been in a seat out there listening to a preacher before, years and years and years and years ago, say something along these same lines. And you know what comes up when I first heard that? I got scared that God was going to have to do something that was going to make me afraid, something that I'm afraid of, so I could conquer it. Because you can't conquer fear if you're not going through the very thing that makes you fearful. And that scares me. That scares me to bring a message like this. Because I'm going, God, what are you going to do to me this week? What is this that's going to happen now?
You're ready.
You know? What's going to happen? And instead of understanding and getting myself to a place of trusting God even more, I'm worried about all the details. There's too many details in life, isn't there? We can't be on top of them all. But we can be trusting God, right?
Yes.
All right, so a couple other things here. Courage requires action of some sort. Right?
Yes.
Think what it would have been like if David, when he came up to the army of Israel and they're camped against the Philistines, and Goliath is not too far away, and David goes, that darn Philistine. He shouldn't be talking like that about our God. I don't care. I mean, look how tall that guy is. I defy you. You're going to come down, giant. But then he doesn't go out and meet him. If he didn't pick up the sling and put the five stones into the bag and go and walk out there. You know what? You know, when you read that story, it says that Goliath disdained this young guy that didn't even have a shield or a sword. He has a slingshot, and so he disdains him. And then it says that Goliath started going toward David. Now, if I had a 10-foot-tall guy running in my direction with fire in his eyes and a spear the size of a weaver's beam, off I go. Well, I hope I wouldn't, if I was in David's shoes, right? What did David do? He had courage, didn't he? David couldn't have looked at that guy and not have some kind of fear in him. Wow, look at that booch. But you know what he did do? He took his courage in God.
He was filled with God.
That's right. And what happened was, David didn't wait for Goliath to get to him. The scripture says that Goliath started running toward David, and it says, and David ran toward him.
Oh, I love that part.
Yeah. Not afraid. He was afraid, but he took his courage in God. You know, and the phrase in the scripture, take courage, right? Oh, it's a decision. You've got to grab hold of courage. It doesn't just happen. It's not just something that's innately inside of us. It's something that really is kind of foreign to us. To take courage about something that you're fearful of means you've made a decision that you're not going to let your fear control you. Isn't that right?
Right.
I made a decision. I'm not going to allow that to happen. David made that kind of decision. He took up courage. He took a hold of the thing that he was fearful of and said, I am not fearful of you now. Right? And he went running right toward Goliath. And he swung that slingshot and nailed the giant. You have some giants in your life? The sin that so easily besets. Anger problem, you name it. We all have our share of it. So, I want to talk here. I got a few scriptures. I haven't even gotten into scripture yet, have I? Sorry. So, taking courage. What is that all about? So I'm going to go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Kathy, you want to read that verse, or do you know it right off the top of your head? You can just say it.
Is that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind?
That's right. Now, see, these are things that develop over time. We don't have it just because we say we have it. It's something that begins to get built in us. And then as these things get built in us, we can take a hold of it. You get it? We can make a decision. No, I'm stopping this. I'm stopping this right now. Somebody said something about that very thing. Just a little bit ago. Saying no to something. Anybody remember what happened? What was that? The person that said it doesn't remember it either. I know when I heard it. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So, that has to be appropriated. It has to be really worked in us over the course of our life so that we can take right a hold of it. It's not a concept, courage. This isn't a concept that you just say, I'm taking courage now. No, it's being something that's already been working in you that you have sought. And you can take. And if you're a Christian and you're reading your Bible, you have a base knowledge and ability to grab a hold of courage, because Jesus, God, has told us we haven't been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Do we have sound minds? Is our mind disciplined? Is it healthy the way we think? right? To the degree that it is, to the degree that you've sowed and I've sowed to thinking the right way, not just going off on my own in my own direction, but living according to the Word of God. When I need courage, I'm going to have it. Right? You're going to have it if you're someone who has invested their heart into knowing the Word and wanting the Word to be the lamp that lights your path. Isn't that right? Hopefully this is encouraging, because I think we've been investing ourselves in the Word of God, in our worship of the Lord, in our love for God, and those things are growing, and therefore, when we need the courage, we're going to be able to take it. It's there for us. It's going to be in the amount that you've sowed in your heart will be what you're going to be able to reap back. Mm. Right? You understand that? Mm. Mm-hmm. So power, love, and a sound mind battle against fear. If you're fearful about somebody, or confronting somebody, or talking to somebody, or confessing to somebody something, and you're fearful about that, you know, if you love the person, and you know it's the right thing to do, that love can conquer that fear.
Yes.
So you got power, love, and a sound mind. All right, Psalm 31:24 says this. All you who hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. You see that? Hope. If we're going into spiritual battle, and we have no hope that God is going to be there in the battle with us, what are we doing? What would we be going out there for? Right? You understand? We have to be a people of hope. The enemy wants us to feel hopeless about things.
Yeah.
And it's real easy. I mean, just look at things that are going on in the physical world. You look at what's happening in the country, and you know the Supreme Court just had a ruling. It was out of Nevada, I think, right? You know the detail a little bit better. You want to just say what happened there?
Well, it was a 5-4 decision that the casinos and other places in Nevada could stay open without limitation, but the churches had to limit their congregation to 50 people. No matter how big the church was.
Right. So that those places had just as much protections as and in this case, even more so than churches. And yet, we have freedom of religion in this country as a protected right, right?
Amen.
You see some of these things that don't make any sense, and you're looking what's going on in lots of the cities, and you go, this doesn't make sense. Why isn't the law enforcing the law? There's lots of things, and you know what? You can really very quickly get to the place of feeling hopeless. Hopeless, helpless, unemployed in Greenland.
Nobody's laughing except my wife.
How many people saw the movie Princess Bride? Oh, okay. I bet the Vizzini's tells that to Tessa. It says, you're hopeless, you're helpless, and you're unemployed in Greenland. How are you unemployed in Greenland? Anyway, it's a hopeless thing. But you know what? Every time. time that we start to feel hopeless, what do you do when you're feeling hopeless?
Give up.
No. What do mature Christians say?
Pray.
There's prayer.
Read God's word.
Reach
out to others.
Trust that what you're hearing in God's word is for you, and that you can find the strength that you need. You know, those who hope in the Lord, be of good courage, and He will strengthen your heart. You got some impossible things in front of you. We have impossible things in front of our nation, but they're not impossible for God.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And when things look hopeless, we're not hopeless. Right? So we take our encouragement out of that. What I'm talking about, this is spiritual warfare. Isn't it?
Yes.
Because the enemy works in our minds. That's the battlefield. You know how all that goes. And in Ephesians 6, it lists all the weapons of our warfare. Right? We need all of those things to battle the right way. We have to have truth. We have to be walking in righteousness. The more we are, the stronger we're going to be. The more effective we will be in battle. Yeah.
Do you have 2 Corinthians 4:7 right
now? No, but you can read that.
We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. Yes. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves.
Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. And that's why our hope is in God, right?
Yes.
All right. I'm going to go on to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35, and then I'm going to jump to 38 and 39. And what it says there is, don't cast away your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. If you're going to move with courage in something, you have to be confident who's got your back. Right? You have to be confident that the power doesn't reside in us. The power resides with God. Yes. Right? And He has all power.
Yes. Amen.
Yes.
And then verses 38 and 39 say this. Now, the just live by faith. But if he draws back, my soul will not have pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back under perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Hallelujah. Grab right hold of that. Hebrews 12:12 says, lift up the hands that hang down.
Yes.
You know, when we're in battle, sometimes you get pretty darn weary. And it's easy to give up. Anytime that that's happened to me where I've just felt like I'm just ready to give up, I'm right at the end of the rope. Something says, oh, yeah, I remember now. Somebody was saying, but I heard a word that said fight.
Yeah.
Remember that a little bit earlier?
Marie,
that's right. Talking about, you know, you get to a place and you're ready to just throw in the towel. I can't take any more of this. This is too much. Whatever. And lots of times you get this thing. No. I'm not going to be defeated in this. I'm not going to allow this sin to continually get in my way. Right? This feeling, these thoughts. Right? And we rise up inside of ourselves and we fight. We fight with our mind that comes from the Spirit of God that says, no, you're not, I didn't give you a spirit of fear. I gave you power. I gave you love. I gave you a mind. A healthy one. And the more we feed on the Word of God, the more healthy our minds are going to be. Pure and simple.
Malcolm, these days it seems like the enemy fights with a lot of confusion.
Yes.
And you need a sound mind when you get that from the Word of God, because
that's the only place.
And you're outnumbered in this as far as the confusion, because a lot of people believe a lot of lies right now.
Yes.
That seems to be true.
Yes. And we see playing out, how many times have I said this? We see playing out in the physical realm what is really going on up in the heavenly realm.
Yeah.
It plays itself out here because there are ruling powers and principalities in the heavenly places, and they have control. They got control of people's thoughts and minds. And so it plays out here. Look what's going on. I mean, the confusion and the deception that's in all across the world, really. The vileness, the trafficking of people. It's disgusting, isn't it?
Yes.
But that's because of what's going on up there, and that's why we need to be people that are fighting our battles up there.
Yes.
And when I say up there, I'm talking about the spirit realm. And we have connection with the spirit realm, don't we?
Yes.
And our minds control a lot of what's going on with the way that we approach all these things. That's where the battle. So that's why the enemy is battling us all the time up here. Get our emotions going or whatever. Hebrews 12:25-28. I'm not going to read it all, but you know what this is. Everything that can be shaken will be shaken. There's a shaking in the heavenly realms. Can you see? Can't you see that that's what's going on right now in the heavenly realms? There is a level of spiritual warfare happening in the realm of the spirit, just because we can't feel it. We should be able to see, wow, what's going on up there? Because look what's going on down here. Right? Wow, something's going on, and anything that can be shaken is going to be shaken. Thank God that we receive a kingdom that can't be shaken. That means if we tap into the Word of God, and we tap into His Spirit, and we tap into worship, and we tap into a prayer life where we're interceding for people, we're not going to be shaken. The world around us is going to be shaken. The world around us, you know, what's that phrase? When the going gets tough, what? The tough get going.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but in this regard, I'm hoping I'm going to be one of the tough guys. I hope that's what you want too. Mostly, I'm a pansy. But when it comes to these things, I want to be one of the tough guys. That when the going gets tough, I'm going to get going. I'm going to be available to God. I'm going to do what He wants me to do. Right? Isn't that what you want? That's what He's looking for. Not little babies. Not little baby Christians who are satisfied sucking the milk. But grown-up sons and daughters that have a more clear vision of what's before them, what's required of them, right?
Yes.
Good soldiers, not complaining, although we all do. You know, I was listening to a few musical pieces last night, and I got off track, and I listened to a non-gospel song. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know know the musical, The Man of La Mancha?
Yeah.
Don Quixote?
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is on an earthly plane, that some of the things he sings in the, one of the famous parts of that musical. And what he's striving for is something temporary. It's something earthly. It's something he's chasing windmills. But what you get out of this, listen to what he says. In one of his songs, he says, to fight the unfightable foe. You know, we come up against giants. But God will be with us all the way through, won't he? To bear with unbearable sorrow, to run where the brave, courageous, dare not go. To right the unrightable wrong, to try when your arms are too weary, to fight no matter how hopeless, no matter how far, to be willing to march into hell for a heavenly cause.
Amen.
And the world, this is so true, this is, it just so met me, because in the real sense, in what's really happening, in the realm of the spirit, in our spiritual battle, in what we have to fight, and the world will be better for this. That one man, scorned and covered with scars, still strove with his last ounce of courage.
Yes.
Now he's talking about reaching the unreachable star. But what about the cause that we have? The cause of Christ. The cause of the kingdom of God to be established in this world.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh, that's worth it. And so, and many of us might end up dying for the cause of Christ. Suffer, whatever. Is that worth it? You know,
I hope you say yes to that.
So, for this greater cause, I say, take courage, my friend. The battle is the Lord's. Right? We fight. We have to fight in this. But it's his power. And it's his battle. And he's victorious.
Amen.
And I wanted the worship team to sing, The Battle Belongs to the Lord. So.